We'll hear argument now in the case of United States against Spaulding. Mr. Hunmeister.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Hansmeier, attorney with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Charles Spaulding, in this appeal. There are two issues in this appeal. First is a sufficiency of the evidence challenge. The second is an as-applied challenge under the Second Amendment. The issues are related to the extent that they rely on the specific facts of this case to vacate Mr. Spaulding's conviction on count 7 for carrying a firearm during and in relation to a drug trafficking crime. With respect to the first issue, Mr. Spaulding admits that he carried a gun during a drug trafficking crime. The issue is whether the government proved beyond a reasonable doubt that he also carried the gun in relation to count 6 in this case, which was his possession with intent to distribute cocaine. Now, the government's position is that it met its burden because Mr. Spaulding had a gun in one pocket and drugs in another pocket. Essentially, relying on this court's precedent that holds if the drugs and gun are together in the same place, it is nearly an inescapable conclusion that they satisfy the in relation to prong 924C. This case is different on the facts. Essentially, in those cases where this court has essentially adopted a proximity test, the defendant was either a buyer or seller of drugs while he was in possession of the gun, going to a drug deal, at a drug deal. And in those instances, it might make sense to say that guns are related because of potential for confrontation. If something goes wrong, the gun can potentially facilitate the deal. The difference in this case is that Mr. Spaulding wasn't going to a drug deal. He was going to his brother's house. Now his brother's a drug dealer too. They're on the same team. And essentially, Jason Spaulding had called Charles, told him he needed drugs. He was running low. He also told him about a confrontation he had with an individual, said he needed some protection. So Charles gets in a cab to take his brother, drugs because he's low, and a gun because he needs protection. It's our position that they're not related. I mean, the gun simply had nothing to do with the drugs. In the Supreme Court's words, it's pretty much a coincidence that he decided to deliver them both at the same time. I think the problem with the government's approach is that it reads the in relation to prong completely out of the statute. Because if a conviction can be sustained in a case like this, it can be sustained in any case where an individual has a gun and drugs at the same time. I mean, the during prong, as long as you have a gun and drugs during, the same time on your possession in a car, you don't even have to ask about the in relation to prong under the government's position.
I'm unclear whether or not he testified at the bench trial.
No, I don't think he testified.
So he didn't testify. So I don't know how you can get away from guns in one pocket and drugs in the other without testimony that I wasn't carrying the gun to facilitate my drug operation.
Well, we know. I mean, the record's clear what he was doing. I mean, we have.
I understand he doesn't have an obligation to testify, but factually, how do you present that issue without him doing so?
Well, I think the facts are undisputed that he was just. I mean, based on the recorded phone conversations that they overheard, I mean, it's clear that he was taking the drugs and the gun to his brother. And it's clear that his brother, they dealt drugs together. So I mean, I don't know what his testimony would have added. I assume if he would testify, he would testify to that, what's already in the record, what everyone knew. I mean, the issue, our position is that you have to draw a line. At some point, it's because the statute says during in relation to, there has to be a line that's drawn that in some instances, when you possess a gun during a drug trafficking crime, there are some instances where that cannot be enough to satisfy a conviction under 924C. Because if there are no instances, you've just read in relation to out of the statute. Now, this court has never drawn that line. It essentially affirmed everything under this conviction. Our argument is that that line should be drawn in a case like this, where there is no deal. There's no transaction, there's no money for drugs, there's no guns for drugs. That's what we're asking, that line be drawn, and that in relation to, essentially, that be the distinguishing characteristic, I guess, at least with respect to this case, that because Mr. Spaulding wasn't taking this gun on a drug deal, he wasn't going to sell 72 grams of cocaine to a stranger where the gun might facilitate that by protecting him. Because he was just taking it to his brother at the same time he was taking the drugs. I mean, that's different. That is fundamentally different. And if it's not different, then there's a real problem with reading the in relation to prong completely out of the statute. And I think if you look at the Supreme Court's cases, and in Muscarello, that case, the Supreme Court continuously talks about sale of drugs. That's the case where the court interprets carries broadly, and they do that because of the limiting phrase in relation to. And if you read Muscarello, the court consistently talks about selling drugs, the sale of drugs. And in that case, petitioners made an argument about, well, if we interpret carries broadly, wouldn't that include checked luggage? If you're on a train and you check a bag and there's a gun in the bag. Well, the court says no, because not necessarily, because you have the in relation to prong. And that narrows the category. So carries may be broad, but in relation to is narrow. And within that opinion, the court continuously talks about selling. And that's the distinction. That's essentially our position in this case, is that this isn't a drug transaction where a gun would facilitate or even have the potential to facilitate. And therefore, the evidence was insufficient, and we would ask this court to vacate the conviction. Thanks.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Crickbaum.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mark Crickbaum. I'm here on behalf of the United States. The government does not dispute that Mr. Spaulding was delivering a gun to his brother. The phone calls in the record do demonstrate that. The government's case rested on what happened before Mr. Spaulding got to his brother's house to deliver the gun. And Mr. Spaulding left his apartment. He walked to a taxi, and then he rode in the taxi to his brother's house to deliver his brother cocaine. And at both of those times, Mr. Spaulding was carrying 72.6 grams of cocaine in his right front pants pocket. And at both of those times, Mr. Spaulding was also carrying a loaded gun in his left front pants pocket. A rational trier of fact could have concluded that there was a relation between the gun and the drugs, and it is the same relation that is typical in most 924C cases. The relation was that the gun protected Mr. Spaulding and it protected the drug supply. I would point the court to this court's decision in Young versus the United States, where the court said that during the movement from house to car and the movement from the car to the drug deal, the gun served the purpose of protection and thus was in relation to the drug trafficking crime. And the district court in this case was entitled to conclude that Mr. Spaulding's choice to carry a loaded gun in his pocket next to a pocket that contained a substantial amount of cocaine was not a coincidence. it was not just an accident that Mr. Spaulding had a loaded gun in his pocket, but that he carried that gun for the purpose of protecting the cocaine. He may not have needed protection from his brother, who was part of this cocaine conspiracy. And, by the way, Mr. Spaulding was going to a drug deal. He was going to deliver cocaine to his brother, who was part of a cocaine trafficking ring. There was testimony during Mr. Spaulding's plea colloquy. He stated that his brother was part of the conspiracy, that he sometimes fronted drugs to his brother in exchange for later payments. So I think this was a drug deal. But this court has also noted that in cases where the gun and the drugs are stored together, that there can be a relation between the two, and the relation is typically one of protection. The gun protects the drugs. And in this case, even if Mr. Spaulding didn't need protection from his brother, the court was entitled to conclude that he needed or wanted protection when he was traveling with a substantial amount of drugs from his home to the car and from the car to the deal. This court has noted many times that it is commonplace for drug dealers to bring guns with them when they possess drugs because drug dealers need the gun for protection. That inference is the same inference the district court made in this case. It's an inference that a rational finder of fact was entitled to make. If there are no further questions, we ask this court to affirm Mr. Spaulding's conviction and his sentence in this case. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Hohnmeiser?
This is what happened in Young v. United States. Direct quote, Young agreed to sell 4 ounces of crack cocaine to a person who turned out to be an undercover agent. Young and Eugene Smith drove to the agreed delivery point. In the car, Young toted both the cocaine and a loaded gun in order to protect himself. It's not this case. The other cases relied on by the government are similar. They are drug deals. And what I mean by that are transactions involving the exchange of drugs for money or guns. It's not this case. To the extent the government relies on this conspiracy, they didn't charge count 7 with respect to count 1. Mr. Spaulding was charged in count 1 with the conspiracy that involved his brother. Count 6 was possession with intent that involved the delivery that was supposed to happen that day. Count 7 was the 924C count. If the government had charged count 7 with respect to count 1 instead of count 6, their argument might make sense. They didn't do that. This court has held that the relevant conduct is the count charged in the indictment. It's Rodriguez, I think. So because the government's relying on count 6 in the indictment, not count 1, whatever they want to tell you about the conspiracy is completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Again, the government's position is reading the in relation to prong completely out of the statute. Try to think of one example under the government's rationale that would include carrying a firearm during a drug trafficking crime that would not meet the standard because it's not in relation to. I mean, it doesn't exist. That's what they're doing. They're reading the in relation to prong out of the statute. We're asking this court not to do that, to draw a line, recognize that the government has to show a relation. They didn't do that in this case. Therefore, we ask this court to vacate the conviction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.